happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed. Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
And we're live.
Thank you, Rachel. Good morning and welcome to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Mylynn Riobé, and we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio today. Today is November 3rd, 2021. Our call-in number is area code 646-558-8656, and our meeting ID is 883-953-5587. And to raise your hand, please hit star 9. We've had great comments and questions, so hopefully we'll get some more today. Our topic today is post-COVID world. What can we expect? So the last 18 months, we've been, in COVID world. We're starting to see a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. And so now the question is, well, what's next? What happens now? And so we're going to try and address that today, what it might look like, and why we might think that way. Of course, it's all speculative because we're trying to predict the future. But there are lessons from the past we can learn. There are things that ancient traditions have taught us. There are trends that we have seen that we can talk about. So sadly, when we compare this pandemic of 2019 to now 2021 to the pandemic of 1918, we experienced more deaths this time than last time. 100 years ago, we had none of this technology. We had none of this medicine. We had no vaccines. We had no antivirals. And yet we experienced fewer deaths during a pandemic than we've experienced this time, despite the arsenal of technology, medications, vaccines, et cetera. So we really have to ask ourselves, what's going on, right? What's happening? Why is it that 100 years later, we just went around in a big circle and we actually fared worse this time than we did when we had no technology? And again, the simple answer is we barked up the wrong tree, right? We didn't look at the real cause of why pandemics occur. We just made assumptions. Unfortunately, most of those assumptions were based in profit margins and manipulation. And so here we are 100 years later, back in the same boat. So the question is, what should we do now that we didn't do 100 years ago? To make 100 years from now different. And if we listen to the World Health Organization in 2000, I believe it was 18, they published a paper about pandemics, predicting that pandemics were going to become more frequent. And then lo and behold, a little bit over a year later, we were in the worst pandemic, that we had seen in about 200 years. And so that convinced me maybe I should listen to the World Health Organization a little bit more. but unfortunately, the conclusion of the paper, which I don't necessarily agree with, was that the reason we're going to have more pandemics is because not everyone has access to healthcare. I would argue that even if everyone had access to healthcare, our system is broken. And so having access to a broken system and an ineffective system is not a solution. It might delay some untoward events, but it's not going to resolve them or prevent them. if the foundation of a healthcare system is broken, it doesn't matter how many people are in it. You know, even if everybody went out and became doctors tomorrow and all practiced primary care so we could cover the globe, you know, and make sure that everyone on the globe had access to healthcare, I don't think it would prevent the next pandemic. I don't think it would lessen the burden of chronic disease that we experience because the system we're employing doesn't work for that purpose. The system we have works very well for certain things. So it's not that it doesn't work at all. It works very well for acute life-threatening diseases. So appendicitis, I always use that example. You know, that's an acute life-threatening disease. If you don't have surgery in a timely fashion, you will die of infection. And so surgical techniques were developed and appendicitis doesn't kill people at the same rate it used to. Most people, when they start having that right lower quadrant abdominal pain, when it becomes severe enough, they'll go to the emergency room. They will be diagnosed with appendicitis. The surgeon will be called and you'll be whisked to the operating room, have your appendix removed. You will experience, you know, post-operative recovery and you'll be fine. Heart attacks, that's another thing that our brand of medicine is excellent for. It's an acute life-threatening situation. You just had a heart attack, a piece of your heart just died. And we have extraordinary treatments and measures that we can take to save people's lives despite having a heart attack. And so it's not that our model of medicine doesn't work at all. It does work, but it needs to be recognized for what it works for. And we need to explore other options for what it doesn't work for. What doesn't it work for? It does not have a model included in it for prevention of disease. So in other words, our current system of medicine does not have pandemic prevention capabilities. It does not have disease prevention capabilities built into itself. If you actually look up the definition of internal medicine, internal medicine is what we use as primary care. So it is what we deem to be our quote unquote preventive care. If you look it up, you can just Google the definition. You will see that by definition, it is the diagnosis and treatment of diseases in adults. Nowhere in the definition will you see prevention of diseases. And so that's why it doesn't work to prevent disease. And that's why it will not work to prevent the next pandemic. So, you know, when we didn't learn 100 years ago, the lesson that we're being faced with today, what is it that we should do different? What does a post-COVID world that is successful look like? You know, a post-COVID world that is unsuccessful looks like we just go around the same circle again and we leave our children and grandchildren to deal with another, you know, global event. Or, you know, as we talked about a few podcasts ago, you know, the pollution, you know, that we're spewing in the atmosphere. So it's either the post-COVID world looks like that, where we allow the pollution to continue unabated. We still don't really try and prevent diseases or the next pandemic, or we can have a brighter future, right? What does that look like? Well, it looks like people beginning to wake up and realize that we can't keep repeating the same patterns of the past because they don't work. And it takes innovators, it takes people that want to see something different to get to that different place. You know, and it's not new, it's old. It's just going back to where we were before we started down this tangent a couple hundred years ago. You know, it's going back to ancient traditions, going back to ancient medical systems, right? There are, again, medical systems in existence for thousands of years that have not changed for thousands of years, and they're still quite effective. What are they good for? They're good for preventing diseases. They're good for treating chronic diseases more effectively. That's another thing that our internal medicine or our you know, conventional standard US medicine is not good at. it's not good at treating chronic disease, right? We try and block symptoms as a solution to treat chronic diseases. But as we've learned in our podcasts before, blocking symptoms actually just makes you sicker because your body is not getting what it needs through the blockage of symptoms. You know, your body is being obstructed through the blockage of symptoms. And so it will find another path to express to you that it's struggling. And that's why there are medication side effects. That's why most people don't develop just one disease. They start, you know, developing other diseases because the body did not get what it needed through the blocking of symptoms with prescription drugs. And so we have to begin to ask ourselves, you know, what systems of medicine are out there that exist that would prevent the next pandemic, that would treat chronic diseases more effectively, and that would prevent them? And it's going to take an assimilation of our current model, you know, keeping our current model in the box where it fits, which is treating acute life-threatening diseases and then using other models that already exist for the rest. You know, so it's not every day somebody has an acute life-threatening disease, right? It's not every day that you'll develop appendicitis or have a heart attack or a stroke. And so we imagine that box to be quite small in terms of our conventional model and when it would intervene. And then we imagine a much bigger box being more preventive systems of medicine, such as functional medicine, Chinese medicine, Ayurveda. These brands of medicines are excellent at disease prevention and treating chronic diseases with natural methods. The reason they work is because they look at the root causes and they don't block symptoms. They actually treat the cause of the symptoms. And so marrying the two is the solution. And I believe that's what a post-COVID world will look like, because one thing that COVID has done is it has brought to light the glaring inadequacies of our healthcare system, right? Our hospitals were simply overrun. And we've learned that we have been stressing out our healthcare providers, and this was long before COVID, that healthcare providers were being stretched to the maximum limit. You know, hospitals were understaffed before COVID. You know, there weren't enough primary care physicians before COVID. And COVID just brought to light all of these difficulties, and now hospitals are having difficulty staffing at all. Nursing homes can't find staff. People are really beginning to rethink, you know, their work-life balance. People are beginning to rethink their purpose, why they're here, what they're willing to tolerate anymore. I left the hospital, gosh, 12 years ago, maybe. I can't even remember anymore. It just wasn't a place that I could see myself remaining healthy and balanced. You know, and COVID has just brought that to light. So people are rethinking things. They're questioning their purpose, right? So COVID can be a wake-up call, or it could put us more to sleep. So I'm going to choose the wake-up call path, you know, and look for something more. You know, how is this an opportunity? What can we understand and learn from this experience? We can understand and learn that we can't do the same thing we did 100 years ago, which is wait for people to get sick and then create a vaccine at the last minute to save a few, you know, a few hundred thousand lives after hundreds of thousands of people are already dead. You know, not a good strategy, right? For prevention. Now, once you're in the mess, yes, you have to create a vaccine and you have to stop the bleeding. But why not, now that we've experienced 730,000 deaths just in this country alone, why not look and say, what can we do differently? Because vaccines are not preventive. We all understand that. Vaccines are an after the fact issue. And so they're not really preventive. In fact, the vaccines we currently have don't prevent infection very effectively. They prevent death from infection. So the concern there is people will still get COVID. They will still experience the infection of COVID. It will not kill them, thankfully, but they will experience being infected with COVID, and they will experience the long-term complications of having been infected with COVID, which we won't begin to really see until the next few years. I think we have some questions coming in. Question, I am doing everything I can do to avoid this plague. I sanitize my house, especially the bathroom and sinks. My hands are raw from washing them numerous times during the day. And I have my grandson get my groceries. When, if ever, will it be safe to go to town? Well, you know, that's a valid question, of course. The answer is we don't know, right? We're seeing the numbers come down. We're seeing the numbers improve. But again, we don't know when the next one's lurking, right? And we don't know if this will become a seasonal event. And again, you know, I don't know the answer to your question, to be honest, but I do know that we need to boost immunity as a preventive strategy moving forward. You know, we know that the immune system malfunctions for several different reasons. One, the toxins in our environment wreak havoc with our immune system. Two, stress. Stress wreaks havoc with the immune system. So there needs to be a balance of not being fearful of, you know, plagues and pandemics and such, but being prudent, right? And so there's a difference between being panicked and fearful and being prudent, you know, and I think we have to strike a balance. And so when we're doing all we can for our health, I think that includes boosting the immune system through stress reduction techniques, you know, things like heart math, meditation, adequate sleep, proper nutrition, all the things we always talk about on the podcast, right? These are all things that really need to be brought to light in terms of their level of importance. You know, people tend to blow off their sleep. They tend to, you know, fill their day with things that we're starting to question now, in particular women. Women have left the workforce like never before. And the initial thought was, well, yeah, they have to stay home and take care of the kids because the kids were remote learning, et cetera. But kids aren't remote learning anymore, and yet women have not returned to the workforce. You know, daycares are open, and yet women have not returned to the workforce. In fact, 33% of women don't plan to return to the workforce, at least not for the foreseeable future. They are seriously questioning their role in society. They are seriously questioning why they're banging their heads up against a brick wall to bring home, you know, 80% of what male, you know, males bring home. They're banging their heads up against the brick wall not to be promoted in their work environments to managerial and C-suite positions. Women are really rethinking their role in society. And I think, you know, they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore, right? So women are beginning to resist. We're starting to see that. And, you know, before it was, oh yeah, they just have to stay home and take care of the kids, but that's not the reason. We're starting to understand very clearly that that is not the reason women are not returning to the workforce. Women have gone on strike, you know, and they're rethinking how they want to be part of society. You know, we've obviously lived in a patriarchal society for the past, you know, however many centuries. And if we go back far enough in history, we will see that there have been matriarchal societies in the past. The Mayans, for example, were more of a matriarchal society. And so there needs to be balance brought back to the equation, right? The patriarchal society has gone a little bit off the deep end, and we're going to see women no longer participating in that and probably creating their own structures. I attended a biohacking conference that was live streamed a couple of weeks ago. And there was a very interesting doctor. She's a PhD. She does research in women and their menstrual cycles. Her theory is that women have cycles throughout the month that actually are energetic as well, which of course makes sense through Chinese medicine. They've known that for thousands of years. An interesting statement she made that brought it to light was she said women are four different people throughout the month. Men are just one person month after month after month because they don't cycle. And so, you know, there are four phases of the menstrual cycle, and based on research that she's doing and that she has seen evolving over the past couple of decades, women ebb and flow through their cycles, even after menopause, apparently. And so there's a phase in your cycle where you'll be really good at one thing, and then you won't want to do that thing the next week. You'll want to go do something else. So women tend to cycle in how they do things, what they want to do, their energy patterns as well. So sometimes women need to sit and think and not go out and do. Sometimes they need to hone in on their intuition rather than their logical mind. And apparently that has to do with their cycling. And so her idea is women will create their own business structures. Women will create their own societal norms, if you will. And COVID has pushed that to an incredible place. Okay, here we go. I've written you before about my man not wanting to eat healthy. He's stubborn and believes only meat and beer will keep him safe from any illness. Any suggestions? Not that I can think of, if that's what he thinks. It's hard to convince people of what they don't want to be convinced about, right? I'm not sure what to tell you on that. How to get him to take a vitamin, I don't know. Sometimes what happens is people have to observe you doing something, right? That's what I tell a lot of my patients, is when your family members observe you eating healthy, sleeping properly, doing your meditation, and then they see the change in you, you know, who's someone very close to them, they will then start to shift a little bit, right? So that's my suggestion, is make sure you're on the bandwagon and being the role model, and hopefully maybe that'll get him moving. Let me see. I think I missed one. Oh, here's one. I believe I'm not ever getting this disease as I take supplements and exercise regularly. Is there something else I can do just to be extra sure? Well, you know, I don't know that you can ever be extra sure. The biggest thing is stress. You know, the biggest thing is learning how to handle stress. You know, this last century alone has been a doozy, right? I wrote them down earlier, 2 world wars, right? 2 global pandemics, you know, banking collapses, Great Depression, Great Recession, you know, on and on. And so, you know, the past 100 years, if not, you know, if that hasn't induced stress, I don't know whatever will, but it's really a matter of being able to take the ebbs and the flows. And I believe a post-COVID world is going to look more like a sense of personal responsibility, right? The people that have promised to lead us, the people that have promised to keep our best interests at heart, the people who have had fiduciary responsibility for us, such as our bankers and et cetera, you know, elected officials, we're seeing very clearly now that those promises were not fulfilled. And there's no plan for them to be fulfilled in the near future. And so I believe what's happening with COVID is people are beginning to understand that they need to assume responsibility for themselves, you know, and the era of relying on other people to tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. We're starting to understand that that doesn't work, right? We have to be responsible for ourselves. And I believe that that's what a post-COVID world will actually look like. Now, I want to be very careful. I don't mean like a me mentality with that. When I explain to my clients that they need to be more self-loving and self-reliant, you know, women tend to default to the word selfish. That sounds selfish. And what I tell people is there's a big difference between selfish and self-care. And so I'm not talking about a sense of personal responsibility in being selfish. I'm talking about a sense of personal responsibility and self-care. You know, just like they tell us on the airplanes, you know, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first, then you take care of your children. And that's the same for anything. You have to take care of yourself first, then you can be there for everyone else. If you allow yourself to implode because you're not taking care of yourself, then everything around you will implode as well. So I think that's where we're headed. That's a great question there. Time for our first commercial break. So wonderful comments and questions. You're listening to Awakened Wellness. I'm Dr. Milena Riobe, and we're live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. We're back here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe, and you're listening to Awakened Wellness. Today, our show is on the post-COVID world. What will it look like? So we had another question come in. I had COVID and it was hell. What can I do to get my strength back? And I can't sleep as well as I did before COVID. Suggestions. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that you are ill. And it is hell from what people have described. To get your strength back, the first thing you have to do is to make sure the COVID is cleared out of the system. We tend to, again, let things run their course here. And the problem is they never actually really do run their course. They just sit dormant and your body kind of scrambles to get to what in Chinese medicine they call a pathological balance. In other words, two wrongs to make a right. So if your body can't get rid of COVID, it kind of shoves it in a corner somewhere so it doesn't have to deal with it as much eventually. But it's still there in the corner, right? And it's still causing damage that your body can't resolve. So the first thing is make sure it's cleared. And swabbing is not going to tell you if it's cleared. We don't really have a great test yet for that. We're going to have to develop viral load counts. And again, we've talked briefly about this in the past. Here in the United States, we do blood viral loads. Viruses don't live in your bloodstream. They get carried around in your bloodstream, but they end up in your cells. So we do need to do what are called cellular viral loads. There are some labs internationally that do that type of testing. As far as I'm aware, they don't have one for COVID yet. But they have them for other viruses such as HPV, HIV, herpes, Epstein-Barr. It's important to know if the viruses are actually in your cells because that's where they duplicate themselves. That's where they end up. And we don't have that technology yet. But we will. And so, again, getting care from a board certified integrative medical doctor who would be aware of these labs in order to get properly tested. The second thing is to look at what kind of damage the virus has caused. So there are specific tests that you can do. For me, for my clients, again, there's no protocol, so we're just using Chinese medicine and really, frankly, common sense. I've been getting my clients thermograms. A thermogram is an infrared camera that looks for temperature fluctuations across the skin. So it's a good means of looking for inflammation. So many of my patients have had thermograms in the past. So for the few that have had COVID, we've gotten them a thermogram after COVID to look at where the spots of damage are so that we know where to focus our attention. Chinese medicine is going to be very instrumental for post-COVID in terms of improving circulation. So one of the things that COVID does is it causes poor circulation through iron deposition. Iron is highly inflammatory if it's not properly managed in the body, and COVID disrupts iron management. And so there's a huge inflammatory response to COVID for that reason. We had talked about post-COVID syndrome, so I would recommend you go back in our archives and take a listen to that podcast where I listed different types of flavonoids that are good for removing iron from the body. The other thing, too, is COVID tends to dig into reserves, and that's why people feel so tired when they have COVID. So first of all, their circulation is impeded. They can't use their oxygen properly. And then on top of that, your body is struggling to recover. And so it's burning through energy in order to try to do that. So most people are left depleted after COVID as well. So finding out what nutrient deficiencies you have, again, with a board certified integrative medical doctor who can do that type of testing. then you'll know what supplements specifically to take based on your test scores to get your nutrient levels back to normal. So I hope that helps with your question. Let's see, I think there was, is that all of them? Oh, there's just another comment here. Life is a cycle and I'm tired of this COVID. Yeah, well, we're all tired of this COVID. But the problem is, you know, we're calling it COVID now, but there have been COVIDs all along, right? The heart disease is a huge killer in the United States. Cancer, huge killer. And yet it took COVID to, you know, scare everybody. There are more people that die of heart attacks than have died of COVID. And people die of heart attacks every year. I think the number was 680,000, if I'm not mistaken. And that's annual, right? And yet there's no outrage in our country about that. There's no outrage over our cancer deaths, which is right behind heart attacks. And the one that really gets me is there's no outrage over the 9 million people that die around the globe every year of starvation. And you know, that's a concern, right? 9 million people just fall off the planet. 400,000 die of malaria every single year. And so I think COVID needs to really be a wake-up call. We're calling it COVID, but we could just as easily have called it heart disease or cancer or malaria or starvation. It's all the same. It's people dying needlessly for things that could be prevented, right? And people don't believe cancer can be prevented because we don't talk about it. People don't believe heart attacks can be prevented and heart disease because we don't talk about it. Because the field of medicine where it would be talked about is not widely practiced. And starvation, that one blew my mind. 9 million people a year dying of starvation. And then when you watch documentaries about the Federal Reserve just being able to print money, it's like, well, how come they can print money to save the economy, but they can't print money to feed starving people around the globe? It just really brings to question how we've been living, right? When a society endeavors to create an unsustainable culture that is based in greed and manipulation, it's going to fail, right? It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable that we spew 80,000 chemicals into our atmosphere. It's not sustainable that we don't prevent disease, right? So we have an atmosphere that promotes disease because there are 80,000 chemicals in it that don't agree with the human body because they're artificial. So we have fertile ground for disease, and then we don't have anything in place to try and prevent that disease. So inevitably, what's going to happen is you're going to get more and more diseases, right? If we were playing on a level playing field, we could say, well, you know, if I eat right and I sleep and I exercise, I should be fine. But we can't say that anymore because we have disease promoting chemicals in our environment. So if we do nothing and we just kind of go along with the status quo, we will inevitably get sick. And that's why our model doesn't work. You know, again, where do we go here? What do we do? Is our society unsustainable? Well, you know, we are currently, the national debt is 127% of our gross domestic product. That's not sustainable, right? To owe 27% more money than you are worth is not sustainable. Our national debt's $28.8 trillion and our gross domestic product is $23 trillion. If we were a business, we would have had to have shut our doors long ago. And so again, we've created an unsustainable society, and that's kind of why it's fallen apart, right? We see our education systems falling apart, right? Again, COVID brought to light the inadequacies of our education system. COVID brought to light the inadequacies of our healthcare system. COVID brought to light the inadequacies in our workspaces. It's brought to light a lot of things, right? And we're starting to see those things somewhat implode all around the globe. And so we have to really rethink what kind of society and culture do we want to build, and look at what is sustainable, right? What is sustainable? What is sustainable is to let nature do what nature does. Nature has been here for, 15 billion years in the form of a universe, 4 billion years in the form of our planet. And it's been able to spring life all around itself without us, right? And so the solution is to let nature do what nature does by being in balance with nature. It means finding ways to negate the toxins that we have put into the atmosphere as we create better structures that are more natural. It means going green. It means consumer demand to not use artificial products. It means, when my detergent runs out, I go buy a greener brand. I buy greener foods. I buy more organic foods. Maybe I drive a cleaner car. Maybe I don't use pesticides. Maybe I use more natural things. And as each person individually makes that decision, as they take on more, personal responsibility, we will see a shift, right? And it doesn't take a lot of people to create a huge movement and a huge momentum towards that shift. Malcolm Gladwell, showed us the science and the math behind what he called the tipping point. You don't need a lot of people to induce massive global change for the better or for the worse. And so, who are we as human beings is the question we have to ask. I think I saw something come in here. Let's see, I think there's a question. Let me just find it here. Question, I've taken the two shots. The second one kicked my butt for 2 days, felt awful and couldn't imagine how bad the actual COVID would be. But now they're saying I should get a third shot. I'm afraid I'll get really sick if I do. Do you think it's okay to not get that third shot? That's a personal choice. That's not necessarily a choice someone can make for you. What I would do personally is not what I would recommend to my clients on the whole. It's a bit of a loaded question, right? It depends on what your risk factors would be if you had COVID. Are you very high risk or not? Do you have underlying medical conditions or not? The CDC is recommending that third shot. When you look at public health, the goal is to not have another pandemic, right? To not have more spikes come in. And unfortunately, what we're finding out is the vaccines are not effective for very long. And again, they're questionable in terms of if they prevent infection at all. And so it's going to kind of be like the flu shot, from what seems to be evolving, where every year, at least, you're going to have to go and get this shot. We know based on studies on the flu shot that the more flu shots you get, the less effective they become. But if you are at high risk to die of the flu, you're still better off getting the flu shot than not getting the flu shot. So it's a loaded question, and I can't answer that for you. I do hope that they clean up the vaccines a little bit. I did go and look at the ingredients in those things, and it was a little bit, I won't say frightening, but it was concerning. There's sugar in there. There's alcohol in there. There's food coloring in there. One of them even has a flame retardant in there. And it's a flame retardant that the Environmental Protection Agency confirmed kills algae and fish. And yet it's in a human vaccine. So we have to really start to demand cleaner products, right? There's like 7 or 8 ingredients in each of the vaccines. We have to question, why so many ingredients, and why is sugar in a vaccine? Why is food coloring in a vaccine? But we still have to consider, do I need the vaccine, right? If you're high risk, absolutely you need the vaccine. Because yes, COVID is much worse than the vaccine. Especially if you're high risk, COVID can be deadly. So we know COVID has about a 2% mortality. And it tends to affect people that have underlying medical conditions, that are overweight, more so than, healthier people. It tends to affect older people more differently than it affects younger people. And so we have to take so many factors into consideration when we make a personal decision. So I would defer to you to have a conversation with your personal physician, who would know more about your overall health status. But I think as a society, we need to start demanding cleaner products, right? So we have this pandemic, everybody's terrified, and they tell everybody to go run and get a vaccine, and everybody runs to get the vaccine, which is the logical thing to do. But then you start checking the ingredients of the vaccine, and you start having some questions about, why is this in there and why is that in there? Are they necessary? And I think that's where, the conversation needs to start. Why are certain things in products that are not necessary for their effectiveness, right? And so that's my answer. Very roundabout, as always, but it depends, right? Question, my friend got the new, I'm not sure what this means. I don't know if we can clarify this. My friend got the new glue 4-in-1 shot. She's 68 years old. She was sick for over a week. She said she had COVID shots. Do you think it's connected? I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. I apologize. Question, do you take and treat patients over the internet? Yes, it's always best in person, but we do take and treat patients over the internet. Our office number is area code 561-244-5880. You can also email us at info@riobeintegrativemedicine.com. We got some clarification. Flu shot. Okay. She was sick for over a week. She said she had COVID shots. Okay, now I understand the question. Anytime you get a vaccine, you're going to get an inflammatory response, right? You're going to get an immune response, because that's the point of the vaccine. The point of the vaccine is to prime your immune system to fight infection if it should be exposed to that particular infection. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a response to a vaccination. It could just be that your immune system's been primed, which is what you want. But again, not knowing her health history and what other factors might be involved, it's difficult to say if it's connected. I don't know that you should feel sick for over a week, though. She may have some other things going on that she would want to get checked out. Question, you mentioned a book once. How do I get it? Oh, yeah. It's called Faith. It's right above my head over there. And you can get it from our website, actually. It's riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Riobe is spelled R-I-O, B as in boy, E as in Edward, integrativemedicine.com. And you can get your copy there. You can also get your ebook at Barnes & Noble, and the audiobook we're hoping to be out in approximately a month. So thank you for asking that. And it's time for our second commercial break. Are you listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio? I'm your host, Dr. Milena Riobe, and this is Awakened Wellness, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Riobe, and today we are talking about the post-COVID world. What will it look like, and what can we do? So great questions today. Awesome comments as always. Okay, I think we covered all the questions for now. So there's neuroscience research emerging to answer that age-old question, right? Are humans inherently good or evil? It's starting to look like we're inherently good, despite what we see going on around us. So a lot of the brain research coming out the last couple decades or so is suggesting that we are innately wired to love. Like, that's our default. And that we have to actually learn to be afraid, that we have to actually learn to hate, but we are naturally wired to love, which means we are naturally wired towards truth and finding truth, which means we are naturally wired to be compassionate. And we do see that, right? We always see after big disasters how people go to great lengths to help each other. Those are always the feel-good stories after tragedies. When we're pushed into a corner, things start to change, right? We start to look at things differently. Sometimes it takes a lot of pressure and disaster and negativity to start to look at a different path. And sometimes it doesn't, right? It depends on how we were brought up. It depends on our belief systems. But I believe, as ancient traditions have told us for thousands of years, that the universe is based in love, and that human beings themselves are encoded with love. Like our DNA is coded for love. And I believe that that's what the post-COVID world will look like. It will look like perhaps women leading the way, because that's a more quote unquote feminine quality, if you will, to be nurturing. And so maybe it'll be led by women, maybe it won't, but it is a distinctly feminine quality to nurture, to love, to be compassionate. You know, not that men don't love and they're not compassionate. It's just our evolutionary roles as women are as nurturers. And so we tend to be a little more hardwired in that way. And then if we are fearful, or if we do hate things and people, it's usually because we learned it from somewhere, whether it be through authoritative figures, whether it be through television, or now we could say the internet, violent video games, whatever we want to blame it on, we have to learn to be afraid. And so if we learn something, we kind of have to unlearn it. The only way really to unlearn something is to remember what you actually truly know. I always believed we don't really learn anything. I always believed that we remember things. You can't learn how to walk. You can't learn how to speak. It would be physically impossible to learn how to speak. Knowing exactly how to move your tongue, how to move your lips, how to breathe, all the muscles that are involved to just pronounce one word. And then the thinking that has to be involved. You can't learn that, right? It has to be innately within you, and something triggers its release. I always felt that way since I was a kid. You can't learn how to walk. You know, it's not something you learn. It's something you already know that gets triggered. There's some type of recall, you know, that gets triggered. And then suddenly you have this idea that I want to walk. You know, when we're first born, we see people walking all the time, but we don't try and get up and walk until we reach a certain milestone. And all of a sudden we're trying to get up and walk, right? So something is triggered for us to remember that it's time to get up and walk. And then we start to train our muscles, you know, to actually do the walking. And so I don't believe we actually learn very much. I believe we came in knowing everything, and it just unfolds. And so it's not so much that we have to go and analyze why we hated this or feared that, so much as we have to keep looking within ourselves for what got buried. So when you learn to fear something, it's really just that the love that's innately within you got covered up and blocked, right? A cloud can pass over the sun, and it may not be in our view, but we know the sun's behind the cloud, right? It doesn't mean that the cloud obliterated the sun. It doesn't mean that the sun stopped existing because we couldn't see it. It just means that it got covered. And so going back, going within, looking at ancient traditions, they all tell us to go within. They all tell us to go within our hearts. And so that's why I particularly love heart math. That's what it's about. I particularly love ancient traditions because they all speak of that. And now we have modern research corroborating that, yes, we are wired to love. And so naturally, if we just keep going within and looking at, well, what do we love? First thing we have to love is ourselves, right? And then we can love other things. But just going within and looking at, you know, just how amazing each individual is, and how miraculous life actually is. And then using that to really just remember who we actually are on the inside. And then that kind of triggers wanting to seek truth. That kind of triggers wanting to be in a place that's better for everyone. So That's all the time we have. That's my view of the post-COVID world. Thanks for listening. We'll be back live in 2 weeks. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Rayobe, and many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Rayobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Rayobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RayobeIntegrativeMedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.